I would be so hesitant to walk in a room or speak up because I was crippled with fear that I wasn't good enough. Now, succumbing to that emotion wouldn't have helped me. Not speaking up, just saying, you know, like succumbing to the insecurity wouldn't have gotten me to where I am now. So I had to kind of process it. It's like, what are things you need to do right now in order for you to show up? Going back to who do you want to be? Okay, well, right now, even though I don't want to speak up, I must speak up.
Get ready for brilliant people, brilliant ideas, and a regular good time. This is Brilliant Thoughts with Success People editor Tristan Almada, the show that thinks about how personalities, relationships, and communication shape business success. And now here he is, Tristan Almada.
This next guest might be your favorite guest to date on Brilliant Thoughts. Her name is Lisa Bilyeu, and she's exactly the kind of person that I'd like to have on the show because she's energetic, thoughtful, and a lot of fun to talk to. She and her husband, Tom, founded the company Quest Nutrition, which you may have heard of. They recently sold for $1 billion. Now, they built on that success by starting a new production company called Impact Theory. And through that, Lisa hosts her own show called Women of Impact. By the way, check that out. There, she talks about accomplishing goals, finding confidence, and succeeding in relationships. Also, check her out on Instagram. But here we go. Welcome back to Brilliant Thoughts, a success podcast. I'm your host, Tristan. And today I've got Lisa Bilyeu. And I mean, she doesn't need an intro. So here we go. Lisa, welcome to the show.
What up? How's it going? I see a big Superman symbol behind you. And so we're already driving right here with our superhero stuff.
I know. It's so good. The first thing I noticed is your background. I see Wonder Woman, and I see a lot of amazing superhero content. I'm digging this. This is so cool.
Thank you.
This is already going to be awesome. All right, so I'm gonna start off a little different this time because of our superhero background here. I interviewed Jason Harris a couple of weeks ago, and he and his company do all of the marketing for Amazon, Peloton, and all these amazing companies. But he said, hey, Tristan, who's your favorite superhero? So I'm going to ask you that question, and then I'm going to ask the question after that, which got me. So here we go. Who's your favorite superhero?
I'm going to go with myself.
Ooh, I like that. And
here's the thing. I didn't practice saying it out loud, but I practice it in my head. Because for so long, I felt not good enough. I didn't feel worthy. You know, definitely had a very negative mindset about who I was and what my worth was and what my value was. And as I started to really dig into what do I want out of life, a big thing was I was just waiting for my husband to make me feel a certain way. I was waiting for him to make me feel happy, to make me feel sexy, to make me feel good, to make me feel entertained. And the truth was, he was on his own entrepreneurial journey. So here I was waiting for him to make me feel a certain way. And the poor man is just trying to struggle to get his own stuff together. So once I started to realize that actually it was a detriment to our relationship and to my own self-esteem that I was waiting for someone else to come and save me, I literally flipped the script on me. And I said, okay, well, what would it look like if you're here to save yourself? And that's where I switched my mindset and I changed my perspective. And now at my show, Women of Impact, why I end every episode with be the hero of your own life. Because I think for so long, I was waiting to be saved. And I didn't actually get saved until I realized I was my own hero. So I repeat that in my head every day, especially when it doesn't feel true, when I'm feeling weak, when I'm feeling very negative, when I'm feeling down, it doesn't feel true. So just like, you know, Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, you know, you just got to keep practicing over and over again. That's what I do with telling myself that I'm my own hero. So when you asked me, the answer kind of came without me even hesitating.
I love that. I mean, I want to ask you a separate question then attached to that. As you're your own superhero, who do you aspire to be? Like, what's your future self look like that continually pulls you forward?
Yeah, I love this question. So I really kind of go to instead of choosing like one person, what qualities do I really admire? And then what qualities do I want? And then every day, am I showing up to cultivate those qualities? Because I don't think it happens overnight, right? Even if you say, you know what, I'm going to be a nicer person. Let's just say, like, keep it easy. You don't wake up and all of a sudden you're nicer. It takes time and effort and energy and repetitiveness in order to be that. So every time I'm in a tough situation, or let's say someone's hurt my feelings, or someone's been, let's just even say malicious to me, to make it really extreme, in those moments where the natural inkling is to lash back, in those moments, I just ask myself, who do I want to be? And when I ask myself that, it then allows me to say, okay, if I want to be a kind person, then a kind person wouldn't react in this way. And so it helps me on a daily basis almost keep growing and keep cultivating the person I want to be. But it's not really one specific person. It's more just an evolution. And the reason why is, I don't know if you've ever met anyone that's like, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And they're so adamant. They're so great. They're so disciplined to lose that 100 pounds. And then as soon as they've lost it, what do? They go and celebrate with cake. And then all the bad habits now come back because they've reached their goal. So now I go, well, it doesn't, at least just seeing the people around me, having a clear goal that you cross actually I don't think serves people. So I go, okay, well, what can I do in order to get better every day, but not feel like I'm there, like I've reached the finish line? And I think that that's important. Like, I don't want to reach a finish line. Like, I just don't. I kind of want to grow. I want to improve. I want to get better every day. So I just haven't set that finish line for me. It's, what are the skills? What is the type of person? Do I show up every day? Yes or no? And then how do I improve? So it's like, if I slip up and one day I don't, it's like, okay, the great news is I don't have to beat myself up. I just can go, Lisa, you slipped today. Great. So what am I going to do tomorrow that I'm going to be better at? You know, we so beat ourselves up on, am I perfect? Did I do this? Yes or no? And so it's like, yes, I did it, but I totally, flunked it. But great. What did you learn? Now I get up the next day and do that. But yeah, I've definitely found a finish line doesn't help. And I have found that just having one person also doesn't help, because there's not going to be anyone like you. It's like the reason why, think of yourself as like your microbiome. There's no like two microbiomes alike. Depending on your genetics, depending on whether what you've eaten your entire life, like there's no two microbiomes the same. So now why don't we see ourselves as the same? There's no two people the same. So identifying one person saying, I want to be just like that, I almost feel like you're setting yourself up for disaster, because you're never going to be that. And rightly so, you are your unique version of yourself. And by the way, everything I'm saying now, I have come to this conclusion because I couldn't get over my own negative mindset that just kept feeling badly for myself. So I was like, instead of trying to ignore it, how do I bring it in? How do I use it? How do I change its perspective and use it as a way for me to get better? So going back to what you're saying, if I idolize someone or a trait that I really want to do and I can't get there or I slip up, I don't feel badly about myself because I've told myself, I'm the person that gets better. I'm the person that's growing into being somebody, not that person that already says I'm that.
Well, I love your answer, by the way. So help me with the understanding of being aware at the moment to be able to do that. Is this something that you've done towards the end of the day where you start reflecting back? How did you get so good at stopping and saying, hold on just a second, I'm doing that, and becoming aware of it? How did you get there?
Yeah, it's been years. It really has. It's been in the mindset, kind of category. Obviously, my husband has his own show that I, produce. And so being in the audience, if you will, day in and day out, and then seeing how it works for other people. So seeing that a growth mindset really has improved other people's lives. And so I was like, okay, what does a growth mindset look like? And how do I act in accordance? And really, I've just learned to, over time, not expect that tomorrow I'm going to be perfect. It's literally a stepping stone. And so even if you think to yourself, I want to run a marathon, you don't just wake up, put on your sneakers and then run the marathon, right? You go, well, I have to learn how to work, to stretch. I have to learn nutrition. I have to learn, you know, pacing and temperature and body, you know, composition. And so it isn't just put on your trainers and run. So when I think about how I show up, how I want to be better every day, I just don't go straight to, well, I'm just going to be better. It's like, no, it's like running a marathon. What are the small things over time do I need to get better at? And then see this as a lifelong endeavor, not as a, okay, by the end of the month, I need to be perfect. And once I let go of wanting to be perfect, thinking that was going to be the answer, it allowed me to start taking steps forward. And that's the key. The key is to take steps forward, even if you end up taking steps back. And so I was just always not taking that first step because I was so worried about failing. And so kind of going to how did I get this good? It just became, I looked at my own ego and wouldn't let it get in the way, right? Like I realized my ego, everyone wants to feel good about themselves. So a lot of us, especially me, who didn't feel good about herself, would listen to the ego, right? Would listen to all the things of like, well, don't do that because what if people make fun of you? Well, don't do that because what if you fail? And I realized that that was detrimental to my future. So I ended up going, okay, well, even though I feel it, I do it anyway. And that's really the difference. A lot of people are like, oh my God, you're so confident. But the truth is, I still feel the same way I used to. But I've just learned to, use it as a superpower. If you want to go to, you know, superhero traits, it's like, okay, if I can see that as a superpower, now I can get better. Now I can really lean into it instead of spending so much time and energy trying to diminish the, you know, the negative thoughts or the negativity that I had about myself. And so women do that. I find that so women get in that negative mindset about how they feel about themselves and their own value, that I just had to break that cycle. And so it's just an ongoing practice. It's the one of my favorite quotes, and I know that I brought up a Karate Kid, but because I love the notion of just like moving your body as a metaphor for the mind. So Bruce Lee, he says, don't think kick, just kick. And that's where you get so good. You repeat it so quickly that he doesn't think kick anymore. He just kicks. So you want to know about how I get to the point is I just go, Lisa, you're still thinking kick. I need to get to the point where I'm just kicking. And so every day, that's what I'm working towards. I go from, oh my God, I would spend 2 days feeling badly about myself, letting a negative voice come in, letting it hold me back, to the point where now in real time, I can say, how do I want to respond to this based on the person I want to be? But even now, I'm going to tell you, I mess up. So that's even the key. Even if you've been doing it for 4 or 5 years, give yourself the grace. And I say that a lot. Give yourself the grace to say, even though I've been practicing this mindset stuff for 4 years, I failed. I just failed at it. Cool. What can I learn? You know, never going to, oh my God, you should be there by now. And I can keep going. But
I mean, I already have a whole bunch of questions. So thank you for that. I like that. Here's my first question to you. And this is towards the latter part of what you were talking about. What would you consider to be your best superpower? Because you're at a level that most people dream of being mentally, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge. Like you said, it's a step-by-step process that takes years to build up on. What right now would you consider to be, hey, this is my superpower and I'm working to refine that even more? What is that?
Getting back up. Because I think that, at least for me, and I can't speak for other people, but for me, anytime I try something new, I fumble through it. I don't freaking know what I'm doing. And so, like, right, when we started Quest, we didn't know anything about protein bars. When we started Impact, it was like, sure, I had a degree in filmmaking, but that was like 15 years prior. So film changes. I didn't know anything about YouTube. So it just becomes a, I couldn't let not knowing stop me because I realized I wouldn't get started. So I said, how do I reframe this in my head so that I keep getting started and I keep trying? And I was like, all right, I can pride myself in being the person that gets back up, because what happens then when I fail, I obviously do feel the emotional dent, but I don't even focus on it. I go, oh, cool, this is a chance to get back up. And so I just focus on how do I get back up? And every day it is a physical focus and a mental focus of not only to how do I get back up, but come back even stronger, come back wiser, come back with a, you know, new chip on my belt or whatever they call it. So that's a big thing for me. And then just how do I get up quicker? So sometimes it takes me longer than others to, you know, get back on the saddle or really come back, you know, with full energy.
Okay, so I like that. I'm going to pause you there because now I have a question, because most of the people listening in are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and one of the biggest challenges for most of these people that are building businesses, starting startups or wherever they're at, is this place of being comfortable with the uncomfortable. And what you just described about falling and getting back up, your ability to adapt to what's next is so powerful that it keeps you going. And that's a place where, like you said, when you were starting these two companies, like you had no idea what the heck you were doing. But the ability to change so quickly, right? That's powerful. How do you remain calm as you can be, and adapt so quickly so that you keep moving forward? How do you do that?
Well, so there's a few things actually that you just said there. Number one, get comfortable and then comfortable. I'm still not comfortable. So I actually just want to address that. I found that trying to get comfortable in the uncomfortable, and I wasn't able to ever get comfortable, I started to feel badly about myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, Lisa, how do I reframe this so that it just works for me? And it's like, no, you can stay uncomfortable, but now you have to work to get out of it. So it's kind of like, that's where I've found the emotional comfort, or not even the emotional comfort, the emotional drive to keep going, because it's like, I actually don't find it comfortable. And it's in the fact that I don't find it comfortable, I push myself to get out of it.
That's true.
So everything comes to framing. That's it. You know, that's the real thing. And then the truth is, I was terrible at school. Like, I'm not very good academic at all. And so I don't think of myself as being, like, honestly, anything special. And the truth is what makes some people successful and some people aren't. I don't think it has to do with just intellect. I don't think it has to do with, you know, what education you have. I think it has to do with your belief system. And I think it has to do with what is your dream and how far are you willing to go for it? You know, it's tough. And there are tough times where I do feel terrible about myself. I'm in a room, especially when we first started, being in a room with Tom and his business partners. They'd all been in the business for, you know, 10 to 15 years. And here I was, who had been a housewife for 8 years. You know, I came into Quest just helping. That was the initial, like, I'm going to help my husband with his Quest protein bar and his business partners. So I'd been a housewife for 8 years. I walk into the room and I feel totally terrible about myself. I have no idea what they're talking about. And in those moments, like, literally no idea. They're talking about P&L. I didn't even know what P&L was. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And so in those moments, I just said to myself, everyone has to start from square one. And the best analogy I like is, imagine I turned around to you and I said to you, oh my God, I don't have kids, but I'm pregnant. Would you say to me, but hang on a minute, you don't have to know how to be a parent? No, you'd be like, oh, you'll figure it out. So we don't have that same mentality when it comes to a business. It's like, if you're about to start a business and you don't know, it's like, why not give that person the same grace that they would with a child, that they'll figure it out if they want it bad enough. And that's really the thing, is that you have to want it bad enough, and then you just have to embrace what you don't know you don't know. So I found being in those meetings extremely detrimental to my self-esteem. I was literally like, Lisa, you bozo. You're in a room full of people and you have no idea what they're talking about. And I felt badly about myself. And then I said, okay, you have a choice. You can keep coming into this room feeling bad about yourself. You can stop coming into this room, or you can admit that they've got 15 years on you. And now you can start putting your head down and learning instead of focusing on the emotion that you feel badly about yourself. And so I said, great, what can I learn? Instead of letting your emotions lead, how can I use this to be the superpower, to be the superhero? And so I just decided, great, whenever I don't understand something, I'm going to put my hand up. And so from that moment on, when I'm in this room, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm sorry, what was that? Or I would write notes. And I would go home and I would just Google stuff. okay, what does this mean? Someone said this. What does this mean? And then you just figure it out, because I realized I had the choice. I had the choice to learn, to get better. That was on me. That wasn't on anyone else. And I had the choice to back out. I had the choice to listen to my ego. I had the choice to say, no, I want to feel good about myself every day. And that's my prerogative. And that's what I want people at home to also think. They have the right to say, you know what? I want to feel good about myself all the time. And so I've chosen not to try this. Fine. But when in 10 years, in 20 years, you blink and you say, well, why aren't I over here? At least you can say I made the decision with my eyes open. And for me, I never wanted that regret. So I would rather be uncomfortable. I would rather not know what I'm doing and learn than to blink and in 10 years wish I was somewhere, but I didn't put the energy into getting there.
I love that answer. Thank you. All right. So you mentioned you don't let your emotions lead. And yeah. In the world that we live in, that's the total opposite, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get there? How can people practice this? Because this would solve so many of our current issues and obviously our past issues. Look at our history. How do we get there, Lisa? Because it's truly one of the biggest challenges we face.
Yeah, it is really tough. And I think this all started when we were at Quest. So our house was put on the line and we cut our salary in half. So my husband went from one business to another. We were, you know, went back to collecting coupons. Okay, we're putting the house on the line all for Quest. If this succeeds, then great. If it doesn't, we lose our house. But we committed to doing that. And in doing that, over time, as I was helping and as I described, I was in these meetings with these very high-level entrepreneurs. I didn't know what I was doing. Over time, I started to realize, you know what? Learning wasn't the most difficult for me, in the sense of if you don't know something, you could Google it. If you're not sure, you can ask around. All of that, I actually found like, okay, I can learn. I can keep opening books. But I don't know how to deal with my emotions. The emotions that's preventing me from walking into the room. The emotion that is preventing me from having the confidence to stick up for myself in this situation when it came to, you know, shipping products. It, like, all of that was the emotion. That was the thing that I actually found the hardest, not the actual act of building the company itself. And that was something I had to address, because all the business books like Lean In, which I love, and, you know, like a lot of books that I've read, it didn't address the emotion. It only addressed the actual act of being in business. And so then, as you know, and maybe this is what you're referring to, a lot of people, which I'm kind of, it's a complicated issue, but a lot of people now are just like, embrace your emotions, like don't hide your emotions. You should be you. And while I agree to an extent, it did become where I would be so hesitant to walk in a room or speak up because I was crippled with fear that I wasn't good enough. Now, succumbing to that emotion wouldn't have helped me. Not speaking up, just saying, you know, like succumbing to the insecurity wouldn't have gotten me to where I am now. So I had to kind of process it. It's like, what are things you need to do right now in order for you to show up? Going back to who do you want to be? Okay, well, right now, even though I don't want to speak up, I must speak up. And so it was the emotional confidence that really hit me hard. That was a thing. And like the small things, like saying no to your friends of going to Starbucks because right now all your money is going into your business. Or going to Starbucks and bringing your own coffee. I actually did that. And the embarrassment, like the shame, that was freaking harder than figuring out how to figure out something with the business. Is all your friends are going to Starbucks, they're paying, you know, $3 or $4, and you literally walk in with your filtered coffee from home. How do you emotionally self-soothe through that? That's the stuff that would have stopped me from getting to where I am now. I went to England, my cousin was getting married. I put on a 5-year-old dress that I'd worn to so many other occasions. Because every penny went into Quest. And I show up on the wedding day in the same dress and someone turned around to me. It was my sister, God bless her, but she turned around to me just as a joke and was like, oh God, you're wearing that dress again? Now, as a woman in a wedding, she didn't mean it, but I broke. I literally, it crushed me to bits to the point where I was in tears and I called Tom up and I'm like, what the hell are we doing? And that's when he's like, all right, babe, well, if you want a new dress, we'll get you a new dress. But do you want that over the business succeeding? And I was like, no, I don't. Fine, I'll wear the damn dress. Right, but like, I want to really hammer this home that it wasn't the business itself. It was the only emotional things I was going through during the business that would have held me back. The insecurities, the ego, the fragileness, the wanting to feel good, the not wanting to feel less than your friends, not wanting to be embarrassed around your friends. You know, your friends are literally, they're going to expensive restaurants and you're looking on the menu to see what the cheapest thing is. That becomes embarrassing. And that is really true to, I think, what can hold a lot of people back is that we hold on to a lifestyle that we think, oh my God, what am I going to be without this? And that was really hard. Really hard for me. So when I go to basically emotions, I just was like, oh, it's my emotions that's going to hold me back. It's not the fact of whether I know something or not. At least you can learn it. Like again, going back to the belief system, right? We can believe that we can learn anything if we set our mind to it. I really do believe that. If I quit my job, if I never had kids, if I literally just ignored my husband, do I think I could learn the piano within 5 years and be damn good? Yes, I can't play a note. But if I believe in myself that I believe that I could if I wanted to. So believing in myself that I can and then saying, okay, well, what is the thing that really gets in your way? It's the emotions. Okay, Lisa, you must learn to manage your emotions and control them so that they don't steer you away from what you actually want in life. And that was really kind of how I did it. And it takes a long time. And even now, like there are many times that I'll, you know, just get not even emotional, but it'll get frustrated. And, you know, I'll be like, wow, you didn't handle that very well. And how would I do it differently? And what do I say next time? And it's always a reassess.
So with that, do you have any type of routine, anything that you go to on a consistent basis that allows you to remain aware of these issues that, you know, we are emotional beings, but how we respond to every challenge along the way is what makes us. Is there anything that you consistently go to and to keep that in check?
So I have my morning routine that is very important to me. I work out, I lift very heavy weights. That is me, just my body, my mind connecting. It is me against the weights. I don't watch other videos to try and keep up with instructor. Like it is literally that. And that really does start my mind very strong. So there's that. And then my diet, what I eat, my nutrition is so important to me. How long I sleep, like all of these things really set my day up. And I find that I'm way quicker at snappiness if I'm tired, if I haven't eaten, if I haven't, you know, eaten well, if I eat junk food, because I've had some health issues. A few years back, I decided that I was going to biohack and just figure it all out myself. So I wore a continuous glucose monitor. I wore an Oura ring so I could see how long I was sleeping. I made a correlation between my hormones, my sleep cycle, and how I was feeling and how long I would sleep. I did it all myself because I'm like, okay, doctors just want to give you a pill. I don't feel great. I'm tired all the time. Mm-hmm. I have massive gut issues. And so going back to what do I know? Oh, I know that taking ownership over myself and my actions has been the best thing that's ever served me. So instead of listening to doctors, I decided I was going to take ownership. So I started to figure out where my blood sugar level is on average, how I react to certain foods, how that happens, how I sleep when I eat certain things. And so going to how do I keep my emotions in check? It's making sure all of these things are always aligned. And it is a continuous effort. You know, it's not like, oh, you figure it out for a month. No. For the last 5 years, I make sure that I eat right, that I, you know, sleep well, because everything stems from how I respond. Like my emotions will all stem from that. So making sure, you know, that you're regulating all your nutrition and everything is going to be so important. And how do you do that? I think, look, there's books and there's, you know, people that you can listen to, even myself. But the truth is your body is unique. So what works for you? Identify what works for you. And then so like food and exercise and things like that. Then in the actual, sorry, go ahead.
That was good. I was going to say that you're reminding me of what we interviewed Jim Quick recently. And he said, hey, Tristan, we're all chemical beings. You know, we respond to chemicals. And I'm like, That's true, man. And you're saying practically the same thing, but we never pay attention to the aspect of our body that it's connected to, how we respond, right? So where do we start with that? If we like general population here, when we're targeting solopreneurs, entrepreneurs there, they're so busy with just like everything happening. I feel like they're everywhere. And the last thing they're thinking about in startups is their health, right?
Yeah.
What they eat, how they take, where do they start?
I mean, and here's the thing, this is exactly why my health plummeted, because at Quest, I went all in. I ignored myself. I ignored my body. I wasn't watching what I was eating. I was working day, you know, day in, day out, weekends, holidays. I mean, you know, we all know the drill. And that was exactly how I got as sick as I did. So the biggest thing I can say, and it held me back after that. So really it's like, okay, you know, we all kind of understand car analogies. It's like, you know, when your gas is on empty and you're like, but I could just, if I just get to this destination, I'll make it and then I'll fill up. But what ends up happening is when you're running that low, I don't know much about cars, right? But your engine starts to like heat up and, you know, it just doesn't start to function well because nothing's running properly. It's really like that with our bodies. Like, yeah, you can keep going, but I didn't even assess. I was like, oh, no, 4 hours sleep. That's all I need, right? Because like, well, who has time for 8 hours? That's another 4 hours. But now you think about if you sleep 4 hours and that 4 hours that you think you're gaining actually just slowed you down because you're so freaking tired. So how much productivity are you getting done in a day? And so for anyone starting, I would just say, make a list. When are you tired? Like, get to know yourself. Like, go on a date with yourself. Get to know yourself. And this is I did a food diary for about 6 months. And because I had massive health issues, I had really bad health issues. I had to do a food diary because all doctors were trying to fix me by giving me medication or trying to operate on me. And finally, it was just like, well, hang on a minute. You know, what do I know about health? What can I learn? And then how much do I want to prioritize it? That becomes, you know, you really only have time for one priority in your life. And so it really becomes, you know, what is your priority and in what order? And every, you know, couple of months or whatever, you may shuffle that priority. But, you know, if your business really is the most important thing, it's hard to say, no, just work a 9-to-5, take care of yourself and your business will thrive. Like, it's hard to give that advice because then there's someone else that is working the 18 hours a day that is willing to put in the hours. So you have to, at least for me, I know when to put on the brakes. So while a lot of people like balance, I am not the person to seek balance. Like, I don't seek balance. I go hard and then I go, oh, okay, you're feeling tired. Now let's back off a bit. Let's give yourself a little grace. And now let's freaking go hard again. Let's back off a bit. Let's give yourself some grace. Now go hard again. Right? It's like, but that's how I function. And that's how I end up personally doing better than either just doing a 9-to-5 or going all in. And so that becomes a knowing when to switch off and knowing when you're on. Knowing when you're working.
Does Tom function the same way?
No, my husband is a cyborg and he can literally work, 19 hours a day and he's fine. And that was actually a big thing, as being his business partner, that he can work that hard and I can't, was also something, going back to the emotion, was something I had to get over because I started to feel bad about myself. We're 50-50 partners. So I was like, oh, you're not pulling your end of the bargain. And it's like, no, Lisa, remember, comparison will destroy you. Like, I just know myself. Comparing myself to him will destroy me. I have a weaker body than he is, whether I want to or not. Don't judge yourself. Just accept that you do, that my body can't handle what he can. And know that when I am working the hours that I'm working, I'm going to give it my all. So, you know, if I'm working 14 hours, I'm going to freaking crush those 14 hours. But if I'm off, I'm going to tell him, I'm off. Please don't come and talk to me about work. You know, and really being okay with that, setting the boundary for myself was really hard because I was like, whoa, you know, we're 50-50. I've got to hold up my end. Mm. And it's just like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and I think it's, let's dig deeper on comparison, because that is a massive challenge for anybody starting their own business and just people in general, because of social media, right? It just puts the best of what people have in your face. And a lot of people can't cope with that. How is it that you transition to cope with it better so that people listening in can say, I'm getting this, right? How can we do that when we're faced with comparison?
Yeah, I mean, everything keeps coming back to every time I went to do something, it was, oh, it's holding you back. Oh, comparison's holding you back. All right. Does this serve your goal? No. Okay. So how do I change? Like it, I know it seems that simple, but that's how I have to almost word it in my head. It's like, okay, you want to achieve this. Does the comparison right now serve you from achieving this? Yes or no? If it does, like if a comparison drives you to push harder, to do better, obviously if it becomes detrimental to your health and your self-esteem, you've got to be careful. But if it drives you, like there are some people who's like, oh, they're not going to beat me. I'm going to get better. And it's like, great. Like if that motivates you to push to get better, like who am I to judge you, right? It's like whatever drives you to improve for yourself. The second you're trying to do it to like spite someone or something else, okay, that's a whole different game. But if it's like, you know, like I'll watch Oprah sometimes and I'll be like, that woman is good. Like no matter how you shake it or bake it, she's freaking amazing. And so I'll look at her and go, yeah, I'm not that good, but I don't mind comparing myself because I'm like, but she's the freaking best. So how do I get better? Like the comparison gets me energized, right?
Yeah.
And so it really comes to, does what you're doing, whether it's a comparison or whatever, serve your goal, push you to do and be better? Or does it keep you exactly where you are because you're so freaking afraid to try because you're comparing yourself? All right, now you can identify the comparison isn't serving you. So now you say, it's not serving me. So I either need to flip the way I see it or I have to stop comparing myself. So that means stop following them, stop engaging with anything that person does in order for you to get your mind right. But honestly, like if it used to break me down when I would compare myself. Great. It used to make me feel so badly about myself. You know, I was jealous. But then there's envy, the envy where you can look at someone with admiration. And now that is over time, over years, I've worked on myself that now I feel utter envy with people, but I freaking love it because I love what they stand for and I love what they're doing. And it just drives me to be better. So that's really where I get the comparison, because in social media, it's very easy to blanket statement something, right? Stop comparing. Don't do this. Do this. You know, be yourself. Be fully sensitive. And it's like, well, you know, some things have like little nuances to them. So that's where I come in, where at least for myself, I'm like, it's not actually true. Like there is some nuance to it. But if I just believe comparison is absolutely robbing me of all my joy, like where do I go with that? But reframing it, now I can reframe it to empower me.
And that's a growth mindset right there, right? So it's exactly it. Yeah. I want to pivot over to Quest a little bit, because you created this amazing company and you were talking about all the possible limitations that you faced, fear, right? A lot of these were emotional. At one point when you were about to grow this to a massive, massive amounts of growth, were you like, you know what? I think we're almost there. Was there ever a point in that where you knew you had something and you just needed to push a little bit more? Or was it always just uncertainty? Because I find that solopreneurs and entrepreneurs feel that, but they don't know where it is exactly. And I want to know what you think.
So there was a point where you're like, this isn't normal growth, is it? You know, like I was so caught up in, and look, one thing to also say to anyone, listen, guys, Quest wasn't our first company. Me and my husband, we started a domain company, a website design company, a photography company, you know, so all of these things, we pivoted many, many times. It was like, okay, this wasn't what we thought it was, or we don't enjoy it anymore. You know, there were many reasons why we just kept pivoting. So when it came to Quest, you know, it was another thing that we were trying, and Tom had his business partners. And so for me, because I didn't really understand the business world, and I just was jumping in just like, oh, I'll just help out, not realizing we would grow at 57,000%. And that's when it was like, so I was just honestly, dude, every single day, I was just struggling to stay above water. Like, while Tom and his business partners were off doing their thing, I was in the ship. So I started shipping bars from my living room floor. My husband comes home and he's like, babe, do you mind just helping out? You know, like, we've put up a house for collateral. We may lose the house. So any help you can give us. And I was, you know, being Greek Orthodox and being, you know, the belief system of being a good Greek wife, I was like, of course I'll help you, babe. What do you need me to do? And they're like, we just need you to ship bars from the living room floor. That's it. But then we went from shipping bars to me figuring out and then grown at 57,000%. Within 2 years, you blink and I had, you know, 40 employees underneath me, 10,000 square foot of, you know, facility, learning imports, exports, you know, international import. It was just insane, like ingredients, regulations.
How did you maintain that growth? How did you know to keep on hiring and continue to grow instead of do the opposite, which most companies do? It's like, I can't grow fast enough, and they stop it. How did you and your husband keep growing and it, balance that?
It didn't really even dawn on us to stop. Like, it was just like, keep going. Like, the bars were creating great value, right? We were seeing the results on just... So for me, I just thought it was like a great bar to, for people to lose weight. And then over time, we started seeing all these different communities coming out. So like the anorexia community thanking us for, you know, introducing calories back to them, right? Whoa. Like your face, your expression. Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, I didn't see this coming. I literally thought it was going to be a weight loss bar. And Tom and his business partners thought the same. But once we started to see, and my husband understood marketing, this was back before really Facebook were kind of using that as a marketing tool. So we were just telling people stories and people that were eating the bar and their stories. And so it wasn't about our product. It was about the customer. And that was really, it was kind of, you know, marketing back then wasn't really done like that. And so we were just growing so much. We were hearing all these just incredible stories about a mother, her, you know, her young son was born with type 1 diabetes. And so she, for the 4 years that he was, you know, was 4 years old, she kept having to take treats away from him, you know, in front of in school birthday parties. And she was just like, thank you for making me feel like a better mom because my son can eat your bars. And it was like, oh my God. So you go from just trying to struggle to figure out how the hell I ship 5 bars from my living room floor to 20 boxes from a warehouse, right? Like, it all becomes just the stepping stone to your why. And I never really understood that having a why was important until we started to grow the company. And so it never dawned on at least me to stop. I was just, to be honest, I was so like just trying to catch up with how fast the company was growing. It didn't give me that myself the luxury to even slow down. And then it just became a, like, we were really helping people. Like, we were, it became a cultural product, which I didn't see coming. And, you know, even in those situations where it's like, I could have quit, I could have stopped, I could have gone like, okay, you know, you guys have got it. Now I'm going to go back to being a stay-at-home wife. But the truth is, I started to feel good about myself. I started to go, wow, look at all the things I'm capable of. And then look at all the result of me working hard, the result of me figuring out this import tax thing has just got bars in to Israel, right? And now I'm helping this Jewish woman who's just emailed us thanking us for sending product over there because she's never felt better about herself, right? Like, it's that type of thing that was like, oh, we were going to slow down, or oh, I was worried that my ego was going to get in the way because I was about to say I can't figure that out. And then every time you say you can't, you're like, okay, are you really going to stop at this? Oh, you can stop at this, Lisa. But then that kid at home that is, you know, type 1 diabetic isn't going to get his bar. Are you okay with that? That lady who is in the, you know, the anorexic ward in an ER, you know, emergency unit because she's so frail, she can't stand up. Are you going to tell her you can't get the bar to her because you're so worried about your own ego? Like, that's how I would talk to myself, to push myself to get better. And I can't even remember your question now. I'm sorry. I kind of derailed, but.
You answered it. That was good. That was good. Well, look, you also brought up why, the finding the why. Mm. And you mentioned that as you were shifting this company, the focus of the company, you discovered the why. Can you get into that a little bit more? Because I think some people may struggle to find a why until they're actually in the middle of it. And they're like, right? So can you dig into how you process that?
Yeah. So I processed my why during the growth of it again, because I had walked in saying I was just going to be a supportive wife, and then realized that I actually loved what I was doing, but it was freaking hard. And so as I was doing it more and more, and there's those days, as every entrepreneur, solopreneur knows, there are days that you love and the days that you hate. And in fact, one of the best quotes that I heard, I think it was Nastia Lucan, who is an Olympic gymnast. And my husband was interviewing her, and this hit me like a ton of bricks. She was like a gold medalist. I mean, just amazing. And as a kid, she would turn around and she was like, look, there were days that I was loving it and days that I was amazing and days that really sucked. And the days that really sucked, I would cry and moan and, whine to my mom that I didn't want to do it anymore. She's like 12 or 13 at this point. And she used to cry to her mom, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And her mom turned to her and said, all right, you're allowed to quit, but you're only allowed to quit on a good day. You can't ever quit when you're failing and when you don't feel good about it. And she's like, well, on good days, you don't freaking want to quit. And I loved that so much that if I can be succinct, that's the advice I would give everyone listening, is that if you want to keep going and you're finding it difficult and sometimes you're finding, why am I doing this? Ask yourself that on an amazing day. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? When you're feeling great about yourself, ask yourself if you still want to do it. Because those days are the days that you're not going to let the problems and everything get in your way. And I think that that's really what the why does, right? The why allows you to ground yourself in something that you can keep emotionally going back to.
Yeah, that's the key through the hard times, right? Correct. That's why it has to be so clear. So look, I have a question in regards to where you're at now emotionally and with the financial success too. Mm-hmm. Why keep going? What's going on? How do you find that drive? How do you reinvigorate yourself to get up and say, hey, let's just change the world even more? How do you keep going?
Yeah, it kind of keeps going back to, what life do I want? I've over the years really learned to ask myself that question with no judgment. Like, no judgment in the sense of, I thought I was going to have kids because I was told that I was going to. Oh, you're a Greek woman. Of course you're going to have kids. And then when I started to ask myself, but do I want kids? Like, do I actually want them? Like, what would a Wednesday look like? And I always use a Wednesday because it's kind of like the day that everyone kind of hates. So it's like, mm-hmm. What would an average Wednesday look like? And then, do I want them? And once I realized, no, I don't, I just like, oh, I'm always listening to the outside world telling me what I should want, who I should be, how I should show up in the world, instead of just asking myself what I want to do, who I want to be, and how I want to show up in the world. And so it's so important that you ask yourself that question. And repeat the question. I kind of lost my train of thought there.
No, you're answering it just fine in regards to how you're moving forward.
Thank you.
Right on track. You're right on track.
Thank you. So I get so excited sometimes I forget my train of thought.
It's good. Trust me, it's good.
Thank you. So it really is like, who do I want to be and what do I want a good life to look like? And so I ask myself that all the time. And when Quest sold, it was one of the, my husband and I, we could have bought an island and retired for the rest of our lives and, paid for our family to be there and that's that. But it wouldn't have been satisfying. When we were building Quest, we sold a very small portion initially. When we were like on the up, we sold a very small portion, but it changed our lives. I mean, we went from our normal bank account to, 8 figures in our bank account, just like that overnight. We just, it's insane. Life-changing. Yeah, life-changing. So my husband and I are sitting there, we're selling a small piece, and your life doesn't really change no matter how much your business is worth until you actually you know, sell it, or, you know, your life doesn't change. It's the same. So we sold a piece, and obviously overnight, and we're pressing refresh, refresh, refresh in our bank account, right? And so literally it goes from normal to holy hell. And in that moment of holy hell, we kiss each other, we cuddle, and then he goes to walk off. And I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going back to work, of course. And I was like, oh yeah, of course we are. And so we just get changed, we go back to work. And at that time in Quest, no one would have guessed. No one would have known ever that our life just changed overnight because of our why. Going back to, what is that reason you get up every day? Look, freaking having, you know, the financial freedom is amazing, but it doesn't feel like, how many freaking billionaire entrepreneurs have to kill themselves before we realize that money isn't the answer? I mean, freaking Kate Spade. It's like, there's a signal here. Now, look, I get it. I get that it doesn't feel like, it's like, come on. If you can really go into a jewelry, like if you're a woman like me and you've dreamt of like the day you could just buy jewelry, like you're like, uh-huh, are you telling me that that's not cool? No, it's just as freaking cool as you think it is. Absolutely. Yeah. But it doesn't change your life. It doesn't make you feel better about yourself. When you're by yourself at night and the lights are out, the negative voice is still there. That voice is telling you you're not good enough. It really doesn't matter how many, you know, thread counts your bedsheet is. So how do you feel about yourself? Is that like that to me ultimately becomes the most important thing, which is why Tom and I every day wake up and say, how do I want to feel about myself? And where do I get, what is my why? The thing that drives me every day is the thought that everything I'm doing now can help someone else. All the unwiring of the brain that I've done for the last 10 years by me speaking up. I never wanted to be in the front of the camera. I had stage fright. Like, I never wanted to be in front of the camera until I realized, oh, people are asking me questions. And if I can help them, I'm putting my ego, who doesn't want to be in front of the camera, ahead of helping people. Okay, Lisa, do you actually want to help people, or are you using that as a BS reason? It's like, no, I really want to help people. Then forget your ego and step in front of the camera. So when I go to what do I want to do every day, it's the why. It has to keep connecting to that. It is the, you know, my reason for getting out of bed. So if you want to know why, it is everything that I did when I was 14 years old. I felt terrible about myself. I was picked on because I had a big nose. I had the unibrow. I had a mouth full of brace, and I had that big head brace that goes all the way around your neck. One of those really ugly freaking ones. I had that. And how can I help that 14-year-old Lisa? Mm. The girls out there now, which is why I love superheroes. Because it's like, I think that young girls believing that they're their own superhero is powerful. And I've just spent the last 20 years, unwinding the negative voice that made me think that I wasn't good enough. And so now I think if I can live a life where I'm working towards helping young girls not have to unwire it, that's a reason I can get out of bed every day. And so when I'm feeling terrible, when I'm feeling when I'm feeling tired, when I've got that negative voice that's getting louder and louder, I go, oh, okay. So you don't want to help that 14-year-old girl then? I don't have to, but do I want to? Yes or no? Yes is the answer I have come up with every day since we've started Impact Theory. And the day that my answer is no, that is the day that I'll pivot.
But then you have to ask yourself, you're allowed to quit on the good day, right? So.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right? But that's the thing. I have to wait till the good day till I quit. Yeah. That everyone's telling me I'm doing a great job. That's the time. Yeah.
All right. Last question for you. And you can answer this one however you want, obviously. How is it that you have, how is it that you maintain good harmony between your marriage, your, what you love to do here, and your emotional stability and just your physical being too? How does that harmony look, and how do you do it consistently?
Mm-hmm. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about priorities. It's who do you prioritize and how? So let's say, what did you say? Myself, let's say me as in my emotions and everything, my relationship, yeah. My business.
And physical, yeah. Mental, and emotional, physical, yeah.
Yeah. So I put that, let's say, under the me bucket. I think we should be our own priorities. So meaning I have to be my own priority, because if I don't prioritize myself, if I don't prioritize my mental state, I can't show up to be an amazing wife. If I don't prioritize my mental state, I'm going to be very emotional. What happens when we get emotional? Well, forget about running a business. Like you can't run a business when you're always emotionally heightened. You just won't be able to. So when I go to all these things that I dream about, having a relationship that is going to be till the day I die, and I really mean that, till the day I die, I want to be married to my husband. And so what does that look like? And so really breaking it down, and I used to think it was putting him first, but now I've realized it's actually putting myself first. And I encourage that in him too. So for instance, if when he came home and he had the crazy idea, I want to start a protein bar company. Hey, we know nothing about protein bars. And oh, well, by the way, I want to put my house on the line. You know, it was like that the woman who had just bought the house was about to nest, you know, could have said, but no, we just bought a house. But the thing is, what do I know about Tom? The person he truly is he's ambitious. So now imagine I ask him to not be ambitious anymore. I'm literally asking him to not be the man he fundamentally is. Now, can you imagine what kind of husband would he be if I'm not allowing him, let's say, to be his true self? Yeah. And it goes vice versa. And so the thing is that I have to make sure that I prioritize myself, that when I went from being a housewife about, you know, ready to have four kids to, oh, hey, babe, I'm no longer want to be a housewife. You're on your own with the cooking and the cleaning stuff. And by the way, I don't want children either. Like, how did we have that conversation and how did we have such a beautiful outcome was because he said to me, babe, what kind of husband would I be to tell my wife who is so happy of what, you know, seeing how happy and excited you are and growing into this space of entrepreneurship. It's like, what kind of husband would I be to ask you to not do that? And so making sure that you're, so A, me speaking up saying, this is what I want to do and this is how, who I selfishly want to be. Not being ashamed of it, bringing your partner in so they can be a part of that. Becomes secondary. And then the third part is then the business. Because honestly, the truth really is, without my husband, I don't get, like, in the sense of, all right, my husband on with the business. Screw the business. I like, give me a match right now. Give me the lighter fluid. Like, oh, happily pour fluid all over my business compared to my husband. That's not even a hard decision. So me and him just have this talk and we sit down and go, cool, what are our priorities? Taking care of ourselves is priority number one so we can show up in our relationship. That means we have to have selfish time and we call it selfish time. People hate the word. I'm not even sure why. We call it selfish time. So every weekend I say to him, all right, babe, what's your selfish time? And I say my selfish time. And what we do is I'm a scheduler. I'm the logistics person. So I make sure that we just have our selfish time at the same time. So I'm like, cool, you go do your thing. I'm going to go do mine. And at 12 p.m., then we're going to come back together. Yep, great. Let's pinky swear. Amazing. All right, have fun, babe. He goes and he does his thing. I go do my thing. At 12 o'clock, we come back together. And now we're going to eat lunch together. And we're going to watch a movie together or do whatever we want. But we've started our weekends. Every freaking Saturday, we start our weekends for at least 5 hours doing our own thing. And so knowing when it comes down to it, no BS, what is that order of priority? Because what will happen is at some point you'll get, I hate the word, but you'll get tested. And in those moments of being tested, will you have a cheat sheet in essence to go back to? And does your partner, because that's another thing, just in a relationship, you want to be aligned, right? If I'm putting, yeah, you know, myself and then my husband before my business, but then he's putting his business first, that becomes a very, you know, dangerous relationship. So making sure that both of your priorities are aligned so that when one of you is acting in accordance, the other person doesn't look at you like you're crazy.
That's true. I like that. All right. So I heard you're writing a book or?
I am. No, all right, I am.
All right. So tell me about that, even though it's probably a little ways out. I want to know what's it about?
It's coming out in May. Thank you. And this is one of those things. Even now, someone reached out and they knew my husband. And so they're like, hey, would Lisa consider writing a book? So my husband comes into my office and he's like, babe, can you believe they just reached out and they asked? And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And I went back to like working and he's just standing. And he's like, babe, what the? Like, that's sweet. That's it. That's all you're going to give it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's very nice. That's kind. And he's like, but you should seriously consider it. And of course, what did I say to out loud? I was like, who would buy a book from me? Where the negative voice? It's always freaking there. And this, just so people know, this was like 8 months ago. So it's, you know, it's after Quest is sold. It's after, you know, Impact Theory has over, you know, 7 million people in our ecosystem. So it's just, I just go, you know what? It's part of me. It's like, just embrace it, but don't allow it to keep you there. So he was like, no. What do you mean? And he was like, why did you dismiss it so quickly? And I just paused and I was like, oh yeah, because the negative me wanted to speak. So it's like, I just let her, and now I'm going to, shut this bitch down. And sorry, I don't know if I can swear, but I'm like, I'm just going to shut her off. And now I'll go into, cool, what is it? Like, is this something I really want to do? What's the effort? How much will it take? What's my mission? And the first thing was, does it align with my goal? Because while it was beautiful, I'd never want a shiny object to distract me from my ultimate goal. And, you know, you get a lot of people, you know, oh my God, like opportunities may come your way. And it seems like that shiny object. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. But then you blink and 2 years down the line, you're like, oh, well, hang on a minute. I had a dream and goal, you know, to help 14-year-old girls. And here I am over here selling this that has nothing to do with the 14-year-old girls, right? So making sure that you're always aligning your goal with your actions, so that when opportunities arise and I've, you know, you're able to either say yes or no with emotional sobriety.
Ooh, I like that. So... any indication of to what the book is about?
Yes, maybe? So the funny thing is, this was then with the book, I was like, okay, look, what would the book need to be in order for it to align with my mission and with my goal and what I want to do every day? And so I'm like, okay, well, what are the things I used to, you know, struggle? I talk about a lot of different things. I can talk about business. I can talk about my health issues. I can talk about relationships, you know, things that I've just encountered in my life. And I was like, well, what was that thing that would help the 14-year-old girl? It's not how to have a, you know, 19-year marriage, you know. So if they were like, hey, write a relationship book, because like, I'd love to write a relationship book, but that doesn't actually directly serve the goal that I have. And so I'm writing it on confidence. So because here's the thing. A lot of time I still don't feel confident. And I get all the time, people are like, oh my God, how are you so confident? And I'm like, if I could only tell the world the truth is, it's not that you need confidence. It's that you don't have to have the confidence, but you have to do it anyway. That's the truth. And so what does that look like? And so I'm now currently writing the book. It's not written for 14-year-olds though. So I've really thought this out. And this book becomes the giftable book that maybe, you know, the parents give their teenage daughters. That's very possibility. Or aunts give their, you know, nieces, friends give to each other. But also it really is a twofold of, you know, affecting the ladies who are my age or the, you know, young women who are trying to get a grips on it. And then simultaneously, you know, as you mentioned about superheroes, I'm currently in a project developing a story called The Wish Academy, which is a superhero school for girls. So I've actually got that in tandem that I'll just kind of throw in there as a little side note.
That's awesome, though. That's I want to know about that. Tell me about that.
Well, that just then becomes, right, where I put my time, where I put my energy and making sure that it's always serving that bigger goal. And so I'm producing that. So it was created by myself and a female friend of mine that used to be an incredible creator at Disney. And so we've just got this superhero school for girls. And it was like, what would it feel like if I was in school and it happened to be in a superhero world? Like, that's all the cool real stuff that we really deal with. How do we teach girls? So the thing with Quest Bars, and I don't know if I'm like derailing us now, but the thing with Quest Bars was, up to that point, all protein bars were either cardboard and, you know, tasted terrible but was good for you, or tasted amazing but was full of sugar, so it actually wasn't good for you at all. So where we took Quest was, instead of telling people to go to the gym and work out 7 days a week and eat chicken and broccoli, that is going against someone's behavior, right? No one naturally eats chicken and broccoli and goes to the gym 7 days a week. Excuse me. So how do you leverage someone's behavior instead of changing it? Well, what do we know about people? We freaking love sweet food. So give them sweet food that happened to be good for them. And now you're using their behavior to their own advantage because they're eating, but they're actually eating something healthy. So we asked the question of, what's the equivalent of the mind? Instead of trying to, so interviews like this, right? Even the interviews that I do, they're so amazing. I love podcasts. Like, I'm a podcast, avid podcast listener. But the truth is, not everybody gravitates toward podcasts. But most people do music, television, movies, video games. You don't have to persuade anyone. You don't have to, right? It's entertaining first. So our hypothesis is just like the quest bar, which is using someone's behavior to their advantage. Our thesis is the same with content. It is, okay, if I want to empower a 14-year-old girl, how am I going to do that? Leverage her behavior. What's her behavior? She's going to watch TV shows. She's going to be talking to her friends. They're going to be reading comic books. They're going to be listening to music, and they're going to be playing video games. So now I have to meet them where they're at, which is comic books, storytelling for young girls, where there's an underlying theme of confidence, emotional sobriety, be the hero of your own life, and all of that good stuff.
That's so cool. I love that. And then obviously we'll see when your book is. I have a 14-year-old girl, by the way. So when you're saying 14 years old, I'm like, okay, it's like my 14-year-old girl. So
I love that. So yeah, so really the idea was the book is more for like the adults, and the comic book is more for the younger, and kind of doing them in tandem. And then I have a feeling that over time they start to kind of, you know, come together between, like I said, you've got older women really wanting to empower the younger women. And so this becomes, you know, hopefully the trickling effect.
I love it. It will. It definitely will.
Thank you.
Great job. I took copious notes here. And I'm very impressed. So first, thank you for doing this, and thank you for empowering so many people. And I'm getting texts from Aubrey. She's saying, I'm going to buy 100 books, and she loves you like nothing else. So thanks for being on.
I'll include her as my spokesperson.
Thanks for doing this.
Those are all the brilliant thoughts that we have for you today. If you like what you're hearing, drop us a review or just tell your friends. This has been a Success Podcast. Head to success.com/podcast to hear more just like it.